I thought it said hip hop pocket, the hip pocket guide to etiquette for the Hamden Sydney man. And on page 20, you find these wonderful words. If there is ever a time to put on your best clothes and your best manners, it is when you go for a job interview. Have your hair trimmed, your nails clean, and your shoes shined. Find out the accepted standard of business dress where you are applying and choose your wardrobe to conform to that standard. Choose carefully and tastefully and wear the best you have. Well, need I say more? Your appearance makes a first and indelible impression on the people around you. Recall Malcolm Gladwell's claim in this wonderful book titled Blink. He reminds us that, like it or not, every moment of the day, people's unconscious mental processes are working rapidly and automatically with relatively little information, often just what they take in from a quick glance at you. And so, as this manual or guide suggests, play it safe, be appropriate for every occasion, and you are more likely to be promoted to the corner office. For those who are counting, be well-read, well-spoken, well-traveled, well-dressed, and finally, well-balanced. Balanced. This is the art of possessing a healthy mind in a healthy body governed by healthy values. Resist over-specialization and over-compartmentalization of your life and your intellect. Now, that's a challenge when you're busy and focused on a broad-ranging project. But cognitive psychology reminds us that one of the best ways to discover new solutions to difficult, intractable problems is to approach them from an oblique, creative, and unconventional angle. This extraordinary filmmaker, your alumnus Scott Cooper, knows something about approaching familiar material from unusual angles. The scholar David Burns asks, can trigonometry be taught through painting? Can engineering be taught through sculpture? Does literature enhance the understanding of science? While these are rhetorical questions, they are worthy of consideration, as are a thousand others. What we do know is that we can't afford to rely on the status quo. The countries that will be successful in the 21st century will be forward-leaning ones, those pushing the envelope of educational system design for the full development of all of their people, end quote. Although Albert Einstein's reputation undoubtedly rests on his scientific contributions, a lesser known fact about Albert Einstein was his inestimable love and musical ability. The great physicist, theoretician, and science, technology, engineering, and math exemplar revered Bach and Mozart. And once he said these words, and I quote, I know that the most joy in my life has come to me from my violin, end quote. These are the five wells of the Renaissance man. Hamden Sydney has given each of you a great foundation on which to build and to add to these virtues. But you must be something else, something more. For it is possible to become a Renaissance man and slip into a narcissistic posture of self-indulgence and self-promotion. You must also cultivate a social conscience to ask constantly what is good and right and praiseworthy for the entire society. Dr. King often quoted Theodore Parker, who said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. As leaders, you may be privileged to see things and understand things that others do not see, at least not yet. And so you must become what Dr. King also called transformed nonconformists. In a wonderful quote from one of my favorite sermons from Dr. King, he said these words: "This hour in history needs a dedicated circle of transformed nonconformists. The saving of our world from pending doom will come not from the action of a conforming majority, but from the creative maladjustment of a transformed minority," end quote. As transformed nonconformists, you will have opportunities to speak truths that break old silences. "We need you, men of Hampton, Sydney, to speak up and tell us what you see. You see a world where 275 Nigerian female students can be kidnapped with impunity. Speak to this insanity, lest the world come to accept it as the new normal. You see a world where wealth is concentrating in the hands of a tiny percentage of contributors to our great society. Meanwhile, millions who labor and struggle to give their children the American dream sink deeper into irreversible poverty. You must speak truth to this madness and devise better ways than we have found to create sustainable and good communities. You need not be rude or uncivil in the face of resistance and opposition. Rather, draw strength and courage from studying the dignity and the equanimity of leaders like Gandhi, Mandela, Churchill, and Malala Yousafzai. Be courageous. Take some risks, not simply for your own advancement, but to advance the least advantaged members of the community. This is the high calling of the moral philosopher, according to Harvard's John Rawls. And in all of your courageous action, strive every day to remain on the high moral ground, where you are called to be Renaissance men with social conscience and creative maladjustment. But there is something else, something more, one more thing. It is the overlooked but crowning theological virtue of love, agape. This is the power that we find in the Apostle Paul's message that President Justin Pugh read this afternoon. "Forgetting what lies behind, let us strive now and tomorrow for a better future." We cannot change the past, but we can change the meaning of the past. I love poet Maya Angelou's way of capturing this insight. She said, "History, despite its wrenching pain, cannot be unlived, but if faced with courage, need not be lived again," end quote. Learn to trust the power of other regarding love. Love yourselves. Love your neighbors. Learn to love your enemies. Love your God and your ultimate concerns. And love the potential in the people around you, even now. In his book, The Irony of American History, the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr wrote, "Nothing that is worth doing can be completed in our lifetimes. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. And nothing which is true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. And nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we must be saved by love. And the final form of love," Niebuhr says, "is forgiveness," end quote. Sometimes, men of Hampden Sydney, your greatest act of leadership will be your willingness to forgive. Archbishop Desmond Tutu says, without forgiveness, there is no future. Without forgiveness, there is no future. But Mother Teresa captured it best in her words. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating can be destroyed overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best that you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. For in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. End quote. And so reflect on the words of the great medieval rabbi Maimonides, who said, the world is equally balanced between good and evil. Your next act will tip the scale. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Dr. Franklin, thank you for challenging our community, our men, this school, to tip the scales the right way. And to quote either Benjamin Mays or Howard Thurman, two great Morehouse men, the idea of the beloved community. We have one here, you have one there. May we bring our two beloved communities together and build a better world. Thank you. And before I ask Dr. Franklin to lead us in the benediction, I want to remind you that the senior reception begins immediately after the service over in Kirk, in the Snyder Hall, in the Kirk Athletic Center, just across the street there. My wife and I are remorse that the weather didn't allow us to host you there behind Middle Court. I apologize for that. We brought all sorts of religious people and physicists to change the weather, but we got rain, so I'm sorry for that. But we will greet you over at Snyder Hall, just over the way there. I invite you to join us for the second annual Reevely Lecture being held tonight in John's Auditorium at 8:30. The Honorable Kathleen Kennedy Townsend is the daughter of Senator Robert F. Kennedy and former Lieutenant Governor of Maryland. And Ms. Townsend will give a lecture to commemorate her father's visit to Hampden-Sydney College, May 11th, 1964. Just to give you all a bit of context around this, it's such a wonderful American moment. As Ken Burns stood on this stage 5 years ago and said, this is an American national treasure. And we connect so many streams of history. Taylor Reevely II was the president of Hampden-Sydney College that integrated the school, was here when they closed the schools in Prince Edward. Bobby Kennedy came here 50 years ago to this campus, and some of these Hampden-Sydney men were here at that time. His daughter, the Honorable Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, will be here almost 50 years to today to give the Reevely Lecture. I miss powerful and compelling, and I hope that you all can make your way to John's Auditorium at 8:30 to be a part of that wonderful historic event. By the way, Taylor Reevely II's son, Taylor Reevely III, is the president of William & Mary. His grandson, Taylor Reevely IV, is the president of Longwood. So the moral of the story is, if you want to be a president of a college in Virginia, change your name to Taylor Reevely. That's the whole moral of the story. Reverend Franklin, if you'll give the, Dr. Franklin, if you'll give the benediction, and thank you all. Have a great evening.
There's a hymn that comes first. It's not in my script. We're going to do the hymn first, and then we're going to do the benediction. So if you'll rise for the hymn, and then we'll have the benediction.
Salvation evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving thee whom we adore, serving thee whom we adore. Receive now the benediction. May the blessings of our generous God be upon each of you, upon these graduates, and their families. May God grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. Grant us wisdom to tip the scale. Amen.
I grab my stuff.
Some of these, is that yours?
Yeah, okay. The whole pack. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Good job.
Thank you.